This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Switching and saving with Geico is easy, so you're free to ponder life's big questions. Like, why do people say it goes without saying and then say it anyway? I mean, if it really goes without saying, you should instead not say it and just give a knowing look?
Well, folks, it goes without saying.
What does?
The thing that I'm not going to say.
Okay.
Switch and save with Geico. It's easier than you think.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi.
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee. Tottenham get battered everywhere they go, including the London Stadium, where today we turned them over to take ourselves fourth in the league, which completes a fantastic week for the Hammers. We talk about that game and so much more before getting news from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. That's all coming up on tonight's show. X, we're top of the Europa League group. We're fourth in the Premier League. We've just beaten those cunts. Can life get any better?
It was all right, isn't it?
It's not too bad, is it?
No, I'm joking. It's absolutely amazing, mate. I mean, honestly, I couldn't be more buzzing after today. It was just such a perfect day. I mean, I tweeted if Carlsberg did days and stuff because it was just so perfect. You know, we kicked off with one of my favourite all-time players and heroes as a kid at our pre-match event, which obviously went really, really well. And then you go to the game and then you beat your main rivals and you get the win and you're fourth in the league. You're sitting way ahead in the Europa League. It just you're in all the cup competitions. It is just a great time to be a West Ham fan at the moment, and you know, I couldn't really be happier. This is just like all those years of like supporting this club and wanting to be like in the position we're in now, and we're finally there. And I'm just so proud of everything to do with West Ham. You know, I think we, you know, we're playing well. We've got a squad that people are jealous of. We've got a manager that's doing great. You know, the atmosphere is coming back to the stadium and stuff. And when you look at all the other clubs around us, you know, they're all financed by, you know, where they should be at the top. You know, they're there because they're just throwing money at everything, whereas we are doing it the right way. We're doing it from good recruitment, good management, good morale within the team, good squad selection, you know, everything that a successful football team should be about and would have been a few years ago, we are achieving right now. And it's a really great time, really great.
Well, it's just a buzz, mate, isn't it? I mean, you know, X, it's... How can I put it? We've spent our whole lives as West Ham fans, and there are people listening to this show that are older than us, and they've seen even worse times, but are lucky enough to have seen very good times and lift trophies, and we haven't experienced that. But talking about me and you personally, because we're about the same age, I mean, we've been through some shit with West Ham, and we've seen players that don't give a fuck, and we've seen relegations, and we've seen underperformances, we've seen protests, we've seen all the shit times. We've, you know, a good amount of good times as well, don't get me wrong. But it does always seem like a roller coaster with West Ham. But at the moment, if you take last season into account and you take this season into account, it just feels like we're on a steady ship now. And it does feel like, for the first time consistently in a long time, that we are a proper football club. doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
We've got the manager, we've got the players, we've got the consistency, we've got all these competitions that we're competing in. And honestly, I think that there ain't a club out there that fancies playing West Ham. Why would they? Do you know what I mean? We're dangerous, exactly. Home or away. And I just think, what a time to be a West Ham fan now.
100%. I mean, you go through that team, and as I've said for a while now, every single one of those players seems like a good bloke, that they're proud to play for the club. They like playing with each other. It just seems like they all play for the manager. The manager's got the right backroom staff. Everything just seems as you would want it. I mean, that first 11 that we've got now, you know, maybe not individually, but certainly as a team, is the best team now. Categorically that I've ever supported since being a West Ham fan now, because we can say it because we're consistent. You know, we're beating teams. There is no team that I go into a match with now thinking that we don't stand a chance of winning. You know, I don't expect us to win every game, and yes, I accept the likes of probably Man City, Chelsea and Liverpool as the league table shows are probably slightly better than us at the moment, but I still think we can match them, and I still think we have a chance on our day of beating those sides. You know, I don't fear anyone, and it's the same in the Europa League. And obviously, when the Champions League teams drop into it, you don't quite know who you're going to get. But even then, I still fancy our chances. Everything, like, you know, you look at Ben Johnson, for example, right? You know, losing Shafal could have been huge because he was runner-up in Hammer of the Year last year. And, you know, we all know how great he's been, arguably signing of the season in the whole Premier League last year. Absolute rock. Love him to bits. Think he's a great right back. Really, really superb. But Ben Johnson was absolutely amazing today. A superb player. And when it comes to man of the match, it's very, very hard to choose this week. But he's certainly got to be in the running, because I thought he was superb getting up and down the flank, you know, marking their wingers, bearing in mind, you know, he was playing against Son and Moreira. You know, he was brilliant. Lucas, whatever his name is, he was brilliant against them, and he got up and down that wing brilliantly. He switched the player numerous times superbly, and he just came in and slotted in as if he'd been there the whole time. And that is what seems to be able to happen at the moment. You know, if we have a centre back, we bring in either Dawson or Diop. They slot in perfectly. You know, you've got Vlasic and Lanzini seem to be able to come in when needed and do a job. You know, I just feel that everyone is able to slot into that team, and I still maintain that is because of the morale and that's been created by David Moyes and his backroom staff. You know, all of the players don't resent each other. You know, in the past, if you were the right back that had been kept out of the team, you were almost resentful of the fact you hadn't been in the team, whereas now they seem to all really support each other. And I bet you, I mean, I don't know factually, but I bet you two of the first people to congratulate Ben Johnson on how well he's playing at the moment will be Shafal and Fredericks,
yes,
who are his direct position rivals, you know, yes. and that's what feels so good about this team at the moment, just that constant just positivity about everything. And what you also have to bear in mind is, yes, a few of the players are getting on a bit, but there's some players that I don't think are even at their peak yet, you know, and so things can only get stronger and stronger.
Yeah, I think you made some great points there, mate. And you're right to focus on Ben Johnson for now, because he was brilliant again. And do you know, we haven't conceded a single goal this season when he's played.
No.
Make of that what you will, but that's not a bad record to have, is it?
No, not at all. And I think it's fully deserved, because I just think he's brilliant. He's got everything you would want in a modern day fullback. You know, he's got pace, he's got directness, he can pass the ball, he can cross the ball, he knows when to put his foot in and when not to put his foot in. He's disciplined, you know, he's not rash in the tackle, because, you know, obviously we had Dixie on the pre-match event. He's not like Julian Dix in the 80s and the 90s, absolute legend, and, you know, one of my favourite ever players. He wouldn't be able to play in this Premier League now, I don't think, because as he said, technically he would, because he was an amazing player, but in terms of his strategies that he was talking about today, in terms of he was against a pacey winger, he just kicked them and intimidated them. You can't do that now, because you just get booked and sent off. So you have to be disciplined in your tackles and when to put your foot in and when not to in the modern game, and that's what Ben Johnson is very good at. And what he's also very good about him is his personality. He's a, you know, he's a good lad. I think he went to school sort of near where us. He might have gone to Trinity School, possibly, in Woodford. Yeah, I think so. I think he did. Or certainly in that area anyway. He's definitely from that area. His family are all church going. He's very much in that mode too. He doesn't drink, I don't think. I don't think he goes out particularly much. Like, you know, on the lash or whatever, he's dedicated his career and everything to making it at the top level in football. I don't know if you saw, there was a, he tweeted or put it on Instagram, like a, like he'd found an old school book or something from when he was at primary school, and it was something like when he was like 7, I think, and it said something like, I want to try really hard or something to be a professional footballer. And it was like, you know, then he put believe in your dreams or something like that. And I just think he's the perfect model off the pitch. And you see, obviously, Declan gets on really well with him. I think all the other players do. And I just think that's so important. How many times we have stressed that in the past, we may have recruited good players in terms of their technical ability, but we haven't recruited the right players in terms of their mentality. And I think that's what we've got right now. We've got players that really, really want to play for this club and dedicate their professional lives to making sure they're at their very best for us. And he's the epitome of that.
Yeah. I want to stay on Johnson for a minute, because you're absolutely right. I mean, he's a great lad who lives his life in the right way. And what really impressed me about him off the pitch is that he's actually taken his coaching badges now. I don't know if you knew this or not.
No, I didn't, no.
He's actually doing his coaching badges now at his age. And do you know what? I look at that and I think, wow. Like, people talk about students of the game. And it's funny, actually, because Roy Keane gets a right fucking hump with Gary Neville quite publicly when he says he's a student of the game. He's a student of the game. Roy Keane says we're all fucking students of the game because we play it. But in my definition of a student of the game is someone that plays it, loves it, and lives it. And when you look at Ben Johnson, at his young age, to have broken through to the West Ham squad, patiently wait for his opportunity, perform and deliver when he gets that opportunity, and then, in his spare time, take up coaching badges. I mean, the maturity of the kid and the composure that he has on the ball. And let's not forget, right, that's an impressive record in terms of every time he started this season, we ain't conceded a goal. But when you look at his appearances collectively so far for West Ham, since he first made his debut, and I don't know what it is, maybe 20, let's say, I don't know. If you look at the first 6 or 7 of those appearances, fuck me, did we throw him in at the deep end? I mean, he played against Man City, Liverpool. You know, these are big games we threw him in against. And he's versatile. He can play right back. He can play left back. But nothing fazes him. And he's a bit like Declan Rice in terms of his mentality, his professionalism, and the way he approaches games. You know, he never seems fazed. He's got that air of confidence about him. And I know he comes from good stock in terms of ability within his family. I know Ledley King is his cousin, is it? I don't know. Yeah. Paul Parker, I think, is his uncle.
Yeah.
What fantastic defenders they were.
Yeah,
so his bloodline is right up there.
Yeah.
And I just think, I mean, I called it in this podcast quite a long time ago, actually, when I said, I think we've got a special player there. And I think he is. And do you know what, X? He's only going to get better with that experience that he's getting. I really like him. And again, to have another academy product in that first 11 just warms your heart, doesn't it?
And you think, do you remember the uproar that there was that Jeremy Ngakia was released?
Yes.
And I always said at the time that Ben Johnson is meant to be the better player, and that is partly behind the reason, because Jeremy Ngakia was saying that he wouldn't sign a new contract unless he was guaranteed to be in the first team. And you know, West Ham was saying, well, I think at the time, if I remember correctly, we did have Shafao or might not have had him, I can't remember, but certainly we knew we were going to be getting him. Fredericks was there, Ben Johnson was there, and also we got Ashby knocking around on the subs bench.
I like him, Ashby.
Yeah, and he's a talented player as well. Another one that we got from Chelsea. You know, we do well from taking players from Chelsea's academy when they release them, because let's be honest, if you're at Chelsea's academy, the chances of you breaking through to the first team are so minimal that even if you get released by them, it's a good thing. I mean, Mason Mount and a couple of them, Hudson-Odoi and Abraham, suffer a few exceptions. But even then, Abraham's been shipped on and Hudson-Odoi didn't start regularly. You know, they've got a few others, I know, Reece James, et cetera, et cetera. But there are hundreds of players in their academy. When you see Chelsea's transfers that are just loaned out every single season and never really make it, you know, we've took... what's his name? Pierre Menquel. I can't remember his name now, but that the guy we signed from in the summer from them, he's meant to be doing really, really brilliant as well. You know, so anyway, what I'm saying is that Ashby's a great player too. So, but Johnson is going to be a brilliant player, And I will make a bold prediction again. And I guess it's probably not even that bold now, but I would say I think he'll play for England at some point soon. I think not maybe in the next year or so, because at right back, particularly we're extremely blessed at the moment. But I think by the time he's 25, 26, he'll have got an England cap.
So given his versatility, do you think he is the ready-made replacement for Creswell?
It's a good question. In some ways, yes. I think he's better at right back. That's because that is his position. That's his natural position. And I think
he can play both, though, can't he?
He can, yeah. And then he started off playing left back for us. But I think naturally he's a better right back than he is left back. But you could argue in order to keep Chaffel or to keep Ashby and Johnson long term, that's what he'll have to do. But the versatility is something that you need to make sure that you keep hold of, because having a fullback that can play either side, you know, is so useful to have in a squad, that I think we need to get him tied down, which I think the club are trying to do or intending to do, get him tied down on a long-term deal and just see him grow and grow and grow. And I was so proud of him today. And then at the end of the game, where I sit in the Billy Bond stand, and both Declan and Johnson just had their arms around each other, walking around. Johnson was kissing the badge. You know, it just, you know, you can tell how proud these players are to play for West Ham. And that is what I love. You know, we did an extra time interview with Sebastian Schemmel, and, you know, you and I were absolutely gobsmacked at how much he did love West Ham. And it immediately makes you respect and love them more when you know that. And I think that is what you can see from every player. I don't think there's any player at the club at the moment that thinks, oh, I'm not really happy here, I miss playing for whoever, I want to go back here, you know, etc. The only one possibly, if you had to try and pick one, maybe Yarmolenko, but even then I don't think he makes it very obvious and stuff. I think everyone is just proud to play for this club and does their best whenever they're called upon.
So what did you make of the game today?
I thought it was an interesting game. I thought we slightly edged it. I wouldn't say we battered them, but I think we were the better team and I think we deserved the win. I mean, Tottenham didn't have a huge amount of chances, but that was because of the defending and the keeping. I'm gonna go out and say I thought Fabianski was brilliant today. You know, I've been someone that has been quite critical of him in the past, but I think today it was back to how I used to see him perform and the performances that I used to really rate him on. I thought he commanded the box brilliantly. There was about three or four times that Spurs got down and cut crosses in, and he timed his runouts to claim the crosses perfectly, both in the air and on the ground. There was one really good claim he took from either, I can't remember, a corner or a free kick, where he came out of off his line and took it really well. He made a good save from Harry Kane in the first half, the header. And I think there was another one, a one-on-one possibly with Son from memory, because obviously I was at the games, I haven't watched the replay. But I thought Fabianski was brilliant. And then in front of him, my God, I told you at the time, I don't mean to rub it in, I don't mean that arrogantly, but I said what a good signing Zuma would be. And I don't think even I, when I said that, thought he would be as good as he is now. Like, I think he's been an amazing signing. I think he's so good. I think he's everything you want in a centre-back. You know, he's fast, he's powerful, he's good in the air, he's calm on the ball, he's a leader. Cedar. I think the partnership that him and Ogbonna have is brilliant. And I think having him there is great. I think Ogbonna's obviously been a very good player for us since he joined from Juventus, which is obviously a good CV. But certainly the last 2-3 years, he's been brilliant. And I think the renaissance of Aaron Cresswell, he's the assist king at the moment. You know, again, I haven't watched the replay, but I assume it was his corner that we scored from. And he gets an assist almost every game. I know that because he's in my fantasy team for those of us that appreciate the beauty of that game and the tactical nous that you have to play it well. I just think the defence is just so solid. And then sitting in front of them, you've got a world-class player. And it is no doubt that that guy is world-class. Every single game he plays is an 8, and I say it every week, an 8 or a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10. And again, he kept all these Tottenham players quiet, and he just does everything so right. I can't remember ever very, very rarely thanking, oh, Declan, what are you doing? Or Declan, do this. Or, oh, like everything is just done so well. And I just think that is such a good backbone. And then, and sorry to keep going on, but I'm just so loving this team at the moment. You've got a man up top that can't stop scoring. Mm. And it's just really, really good. And I wouldn't have said today was our best performance of the season, but it was convincing, and it was good enough to get the job done and get the result. And that ultimately, that's all that matters.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That is all that matters. I don't care if we were a shower of shit today. If we got the win, that's good enough for me. I mean, in terms of the performance, I did think that we lacked a bit of fluidity, intensity. It wasn't the kind of exciting top-level West Ham that we're used to seeing in recent times. But I did think we were well-structured, well-disciplined. Everyone clearly knew their jobs. I think you're spot on. I think defensively, we were absolutely fantastic. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you look at like Zuma, solid, absolutely solid. Fornals worked hard and showed quality on the ball. Johnson, as we've spoke about, showed composure and I think tenacity. Creswell, experience, quality and composure. Fabianski, you're right, and I'm pleased you said that. I thought he was outstanding today. And Antonio led the line well. Ridiculous strength. I mean, it was so funny. Some of them fucking Tottenham defenders were like ragdolls off him, weren't they?
Yeah. And I don't think he seemed even that fit today. He seemed a bit tired, and yet he still does that.
Yeah, he did. I know, it's unbelievable, isn't it? And obviously he scored the winner as well. Yeah. Bowen worked his socks off. I love Jared. I mean, fucking hell. Every single week, he just works himself to the bone, and I love him for that.
Yeah.
And Declan Rice, I mean, fucking hell. I mean, how much more, Rex, can we say about Declan Rice that we haven't said before? It's just every single week we say the same things about him. And that's what I said last week, though, Rex. You know, world-class players perform on a weekly basis. They're consistent. And it doesn't matter who they play or at what level. It doesn't matter if he plays at Premier League level or for England. Mm. He still plays to the same standard. And he does it in a way, you know, it's fascinating, really, when you look at Declan. He's so young. But, you know, to be a captain of a football club and to play with a smile on his face, and even when it was kicking off with the players, I don't know if you noticed, well, you might not have got a good like close-up shot of it because you were at the game. I was watching it on the telly. But when it was kicking off, because that fucking two Bob cunt, whoever his name is, he had a nightmare, by the way. I think that's what it was with him. He was frustrated. What's his face? Their centre-half.
Eric Dier.
No, the other one.
Romero.
Yes, yeah. Mm. I mean, he was having a poor game, and I think Fornals mugged him off a couple of times, spinning him left, right, and centre. And then he actually, ironically, put in a good tackle on Fornals. And then when Fornals went down, I've actually seen a few people say that Romero spat him. I didn't see that.
I saw that on Twitter. I mean, obviously, I don't know if I've seen it, but I saw that on Twitter, people saying that.
No, I mean, I didn't see it. But I mean, for the amount of people to have said that he'd done it, and not do it is unrealistic. So he must have done something, but he was frustrated, I think. But what I'm saying is, you know, it kicked off on the back of him having a pop at Fornals when he was on the ground. And Declan straight away, when everyone's got the hump, I mean, even in a situation like that, Dec's got a smile on his face. He's running into the crowd with that captain's armband on. And the way that he handles those situations, I don't know. He has this aura of, come on, lads, let's not take life too seriously.
And that's what I think so special about him. I mean, like I said, I have met Declan. You and I have met his brothers and stuff. You know, they are such a grounded family. They are really genuinely nice people. And ever since he's been in the football team, then yes, obviously his circle of friends have changed. And you know, he hangs around with what's his name? Joshua. And he hangs around with like all these people that are sort of made something of themselves now. But he's still the same person. He's still the same person at heart. And he's he respects his roots and stuff. He still lives where he grew up. He still visits the same youth centre that I think he used to go to play football at, and still respects everyone. You know, I'm aware he gave, like, for the England final against Italy in the Euros, I'm aware that he got in contact with a load of his coaches, like at all levels, that have helped him and got them tickets for the game as a thank you. Yeah, as a thank you for him being in that final. And wow. And you know, and he's just he is just genuinely such a top bloke. And I think that helps so much of him being the way he is. And like you said, mate, he's 22.
I know. You know, it's frightening, mate.
Some footballers haven't even started playing at that age yet. And you know, you think of the likes of well, Antonio for one, but then you look further back in terms of like Ian Wright and you know, other players, Jamie Vardy, people like that, they've had to make themselves all the way up. He's been playing for West Ham in the Premier League as captain for numerous games, and England already played so many times. I mean, he's played like almost 30 times for England or something. It's already mad, something like that. And he's 22. I mean, what is he going to be like when he's 27, 28, when you're at your peak for a midfielder? Well, any player, but certainly a midfielder. I think he's just going to be sensational. I genuinely think he can just go so far. And I just pray that he stays at West Ham. I mean, I totally understand if he doesn't, but if he could stay at West Ham and finish his career here, you know, he would be up there with Bobby Moore, Billy Bonds, and the elite establishment at West Ham, you know, if he did that. Because, you know, if only Bobby and Jeff Hurst and Trevor Brookin have stayed at West Ham for as long as most of their career. Trevor Brookin obviously being the only one that did play his whole career at West Ham and be at that level of playing at the top for England and stuff. I mean, you know, Billy Bonds, after joining us from Charlton, played so many games for us and went on to be an absolute legend and was a legend, but he wasn't, you know, an England international. He wasn't, by definition, a world-class player. He was a world-class player for West Ham, but probably not technically, as Julian was saying today as well, a world-class player in the game, whereas Declan Rice is going to be a world-class player in the game. And if he can stay at West Ham and do that, well, then he has to be regarded in the same group, as I said, as those players.
The thing is, though, X, I've said it before and I'll say it again, the club are fucking about with Declan to a point where it's disrespectful. I mean, everyone in world football, I think, can see how good Declan is. And I know the board can see it as well. But put your fucking money where your mouth is. You're the only people that have the power to have a crack at keeping Deck here for the long term. So fucking do it. Don't fuck about with these silly offers. He's 22. He's an England international. He's the club's captain. He's loved at the club. He is a world-class footballer. Do everything you can to secure that boy for as many years as you can. And you know what? When you think about it, right, Declan is playing week in, week out. He's captain. He's playing for his country. He's currently sitting fourth in the Premier League. He's playing in Europe. This club is going in the right direction. We're ticking a lot of boxes for a player that has ambition. We are. And yes, you can argue, you know, he wants to win titles, he wants to win cups. Well, he ain't going to win any titles at West Ham. We ain't going to win the Premier League, that's for sure. But we have got a crack at winning the cups, and we have got a crack at having a real good run in Europe. And he is still only young. So do you know what? For the amount of money you would have to find a player that's half as good as Declan, just give him fucking 200 grand a week for 6 years. Just do it. Because you know what, right? There has been speculation around Deck. You know better than I do around solid offers that have come in, or solid speculation, or agents that have stirred up shit or whatever to try and get in his head. He has been the consummate professional throughout all of this. Not at any point has he ever broken and said, you know what, I'm not going to turn up for training. Fuck it. I'm going to throw my toys out the pram. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm bigger than West Ham, etc. All he's ever done is give 110% for this football club, played with a smile on his face, and led by example, despite the fact that he clearly knows how good he is. And I've got nothing but love and respect for Deck, like every West Ham fan. So do you know what? If the board can replicate how the fans feel, because if the fans own this football club, we'd have paid him what he wanted. When you're lucky enough as West Ham United to get a player like Declan playing for you, because mark my words, you know, I say we'll never get a player like Declan again. You never know what the future holds. I don't know when we'll ever get a player like Declan again through the academy, but sure as shit, it'll be a fucking long time. You have got to make the most of that player and do everything you can to keep hold of him. So why don't you say, do you know what? Even if it affects the budget for next season for buying new players, realistically, Yarmolenko, I mean, he's a higher paid player at West Ham. Realistically, he'll run his contract out and he'll leave. Boom, you save what?
It's the end of this season as well.
Oh, and exactly, end of this season. So, boom, you've saved 120 or grand there or whatever it is, for example. Whack that on Declan. Do you know what? I would put a blank piece of paper in front of Declan and say, this is how fucking serious I am, Dec. You can become an icon. You can potentially become the next Bobby Moore at West Ham. That's how much you mean to this football club. And we're going to back you every step of the way. And we'll prove it to you, Dec, because here's a blank contract with my signature already on it. You just put in what you want every week and I'll honor it.
Exactly, mate.
You know what I mean?
Well, this is the thing, and what you've got to think of it, I think David Moyes said it perfectly, and this is why I'm loving the gaffer so much, and in my eyes now is 100%, and it's not an argument now. The best manager we've had since I've been going. You know, like the only person, potentially the two that could potentially rival it are Harry Redknapp and Adam Pardew, and I don't think they do. Adam Pardew took us up, did well, but first season was a bit of a struggle. Second season, we got up just in the playoffs. And then we had a good season, cup final, and then it fell apart. Harry Redknapp kept us up from relegation, got us fifth in the league and playing some really exciting football. But we never really competed at the very top level in terms of, you know, that one season. But other than that, we were kind of mid-table-ish. Well, this is two seasons now, and he's kept us up twice. So in my eyes, Moyes is the best manager we've had now. And he said in the week, I don't know if you saw the interview, I can't remember what he said, but he said something along the lines of Declan was available for 100 million in the summer holidays, and although in the summer window, I mean, and all those clubs have missed out on a bargain. Because what he's basically implying that he's worth even more now, and they're not going to sell him for it. So, I think that is exactly what is right. And then the main club that are leading the way for him, so I believe, and I don't think any club's actually made an offer. So when I say leading the way, I'm talking like making the most noise about him. Is Manchester United. I mean, fuck me, look what happened to them today. You know, so like, why on earth at the moment would he want to leave us where he is the main man?
You're right, X. Why would you? I mean, that is absolutely key, right? Because you're going to be signing for a manager that ain't going to be there. Let's be honest, he's on borrowed time.
Yeah.
So you're signing for a club where actually you don't know who you're going to be playing for.
Yeah.
You're going to be signing for a club that's full of fucking show ponies that care more about their fucking TikTok videos than they do about their own fucking football club.
Starman's 36.
Exactly. And you know, you're playing in let's be honest, their fucking fans are two bobbers. Well, they come from all over the fucking place. They support them because they're Man United rather than it being in their DNA like all West Ham fans have. Really and truly, why would you? And I actually can't believe I'm saying this. When you actually listen to the words I'm about to say, it's quite surreal, really. And I also think it's sign of the times in terms of how far West Ham have come. But the words are, why would you want to sign for Man United when you're at West Ham? And do you know what? A year, 2 years, 3 years ago, that would have been a fucking ridiculous statement. But actually, when you look at where the two clubs are, If you're Declan Rice and you're looked after, that's the key. Because at the moment, he ain't. He's underpaid for what he does at West Ham. Mm-hmm. If you're looked after financially and he's on a contract that he deserves and he's comfortable with, why the fuck are you going to look at Man United?
Exactly. And you know, the thing is as well with it all is that look at Jesse Lingard. I mean, did you see the video on Twitter from him, the Man United fans?
No.
So he's a substitute today, all shock, and he's warming up and he's by the corner flag and he just turns round to, I think it's the Stretford end, but I'm not an expert, and he turns around and he's obviously getting abuse from the fans, and he turns around and says to them, "I'm not even on the pitch. You know, why are you starting on me? You know, I'm a substitute. I'm not even playing now." And I think to myself, you're an idiot. I understand why you wanted to go back to Manchester United. You know, it was your club and you're from Manchester, and you know, etc. But he would be so much more happier if he was still at West Ham now. Yeah. And if he was at Manchester United, and I would go in for him in January and just say, "Come on, Jesse, we second chance here. Get yourself out of this shithole," which is great to say about Manchester United. Get yourself out of this shit show. And come to West Ham, where you will be loved, where you'll be an absolute icon. Again, you'll be, you know, he's not going to get in the team to start, unfortunately, no. West Ham, like you said. No. But, you know, like today, for example, you know, when you know, Ben Rama works his socks off, and I thought he played well. But I think, you know, bringing on Lingard, for example, for Ben Rama then would have been a great sub. And eventually, I'd imagine that Jesse would perhaps work his way back into the team, or he could be played as a competitor for Antonio's position, or you know, whatever the case is, we should try and sign Lingard back. And I think if we get him back as well, the squad gets even stronger, and you can use the example of Lingard to Declan. Whilst I don't think Declan would be on the subs bench at Manchester United, he'd obviously be a key player for them, because my God, if McTominay and Fred can establish themselves in that midfield, then sure that Declan Rice can. But I'll just say to him, look, mate, you just don't go. You don't need to. You're loving life at the moment. It's not affecting your England career because you're playing every big game in England. I mean, he is one of the first names on the team sheet for England now. I think when the manager picks his team, he starts off with Pickford in goal. Well, you know, Maguire possibly if he's fit, Rice in midfield, and then Kane up front. I think he does that spine and then works the rest out from that. So he's essential for England. So it's not affecting his international career. The only thing is if you know, Manchester City or Liverpool or Chelsea come in for him at this moment, because they are more likely to win the league than us. But even then, do you want to go to a club where you're not for sure guaranteed to be the star there? Whereas if he's at West Ham, you know, he's forever going to be an absolute icon. And even if he leaves West Ham in January, he'll still be remembered as a legend for us, like, very, very fondly. But how much of a legend does he want to be? And it's a tough decision for him, because he does have to weigh up the fact he could pretty much play for everyone. But I still think, give it 2-3 years. He's still only 25 then. And if West Ham haven't progressed, you know, at all, and this is just a couple of seasons flash in the pan or whatever, then maybe look to move. But why leave when things are so good right now, apart from the fact that you've alluded to that he's not paid enough? But yeah, I mean, everything is just so good about the team at the moment. Like, I look through that squad and there's not one player I think, they're a bit ropey. Mm. You know, not certainly that it's featured regularly anyway. The only thing that worries me, and it worries every West Ham fan, is that if Antonio gets injured, we're in trouble. That's the only thing that really worries me about this squad. And then if you signed a forward or Lingard in January, then that would fix that problem, because Bowen's done all right up front as well. So yeah, but I'm just absolutely buzzing about today. Everything's just so great. The fact that it's against them as well makes it even better. You know, our rivals, again, we've beaten them. We're getting a really healthy record against them in recent years as well. It's just so good. Good times. And, like, you know, just just wow. Like, you know, I've had look, people know, and I've used this podcast as almost therapy by saying it. You know, people know that I've been through a difficult couple of years, really difficult, and it's still throwing further challenges at me as the weeks go by. But having West Ham and having this platform like we have, and the events like we have as well, to be able to do stuff with this club that so positively and talk about it so positively and experience such positivity is massive, massive for me psychologically. And I'm sure it's doing the same for many other fans out there as well. So it's just great. I messaged a player on earlier that played today. I'm not going to say who, but I don't really know them that well, but I know them well enough to drop the odd message to you. And I just said, mate, thank you for today. Absolutely buzzing, superb performance. I loved it. You know, just like thank you, for you and the lads' contributions to what is just such a great time to be a West Ham fan. And they're all so like modest about it. They're like, yeah, well, they say like, yeah, loving it, brilliant. What an atmosphere it was today. Let's push on even further. And that's what I love. Like, no matter which one you say it to, it's always like, but yes, let's push on. So they're not resting on their laurels, and they're determined to make something from it rather than milking it as it is now, and then maybe falling away. I love the fact they're still saying, let's kick on even further.
Yeah. And I think David Moyes has to take massive credit for that.
Oh, because, hugely.
You know, hugely. And how many times, X, have we said on this podcast during some of the darker times since we left Upton Park that this team lacks a winning mentality?
Yeah.
And that is something that David Moyes has instilled in these boys. And it's funny, you know, when he joined West Ham and he said those famous words, you know, win, that's what I do, I win. Every man and his dog fucking laughed at him. I think even I winced when he said it.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what he's fucking done. And I'll tell you what, as he put a middle finger up at everyone, myself included, that ever fucking knocked him, because geezer's come in and he has transformed West Ham.
Well, his stock value now, if you look at any manager in that league now, you would say he's got to be one of the most desirable ones there. I mean, you know, obviously you got Pep, but then Pep's always works with huge budgets and big teams. Klopp's obviously done wonderful things at Liverpool. You know, Chelsea, Tuchel's come in and done well for them. But when you look around realistically, and these guys, those managers are paid fucking shitloads and have a massive budget as well. When you look at what he's actually achieved, you know, in a club our size and the position that we're in with the budget that he's been given, it is nothing short of sensational. You know, and he's done exactly what he's done at West Ham with what he did at Everton, which is where he made his name. But I would go as far as to say he's done better at West Ham, because I think our team now would beat his best team at Everton.
Yeah.
I think, you know, luckily he's what, 57, is he, or something? So he's still got a good 10 years left or so. So hopefully within those 10 years, if he stays at West Ham, which I can see no reason that he shouldn't, we'll be able to see, he'll actually start to have recognised trophies on his CV. Because as far as I'm aware, apart from Charity Shield maybe and stuff, he hasn't actually won any major trophies, despite being, you know, very, very good, consistent manager. So let's hope he can start adding some of those trophies to his time. Because, you know, in modern day football as well, managers don't last more than 2-3 years. But if he stays another 10 or so at West Ham, which I hope he does on what I know of him now, then he could be going down up there with the likes of Lyle, and Greenwood and stuff as West Ham icon himself in terms of management. And I just love everything about him. I love the fact that he's, you know, he seems to know when to dig players out and when to praise players. He seems to know when to like hype them up and when to play them down. He seems to manage them well. I love the fact he's got a great backroom staff there. That to me is just so important. And why other managers, I know they probably believe they they have done it by bringing in certain people, but you look at what he's brought into that club, you know, in terms of the backroom staff. The goalkeeping coach is already there, but they kept him because he's so highly rated. Then you've got English football legend and a player with management experience and has played and won Hammer of the Year for the club in Stuart Pearce. You've then got Kevin Nolan, who's also managed Notts County and Leyton Orient, as well as captaining this club and being very, very important and has that leadership quality. Then you've got Nevin, who is called into the England setup because his technical coaching is so highly rated. And then you've got the Scottish McKinley. You've got him who, you know, again, has had experience at a higher level. Again's a leader and a winner. And I just think he's just recruited so well in that area. And then the signings he's made, again, it's that mentality. It's just so important. And whilst we'll talk about my personal situation a little bit later, myself, when I've recruited people in my both as a football coach, like in the past when I've done football coaching, but also as in my profession, I have to recruit people that I work with. And for me, it's always about mentality, how they come across as people. Can I see myself and my other staff working with them? Can I see them committing themselves to me and buying into everything I'm trying to do? And that is as if not more important than anything else. And I love the fact that he does that. And it's all sort of management, leadership, psychology. And I think if he ever wanted to, like Alex Ferguson does, Moyes could give talks at universities and conferences on the art of, you know, leadership and stuff, because I think he shows all of those traits.
Yeah. How is it going as a drug baron these days? All right.
Yeah, really well. Like, if you get the right runners for you, you know, they've got to have the right mentality. They've got to believe in you. They've got to respect you.
Yeah.
Then it goes well. You know, county lines, I'm sit perfectly where I live. I've got Hertfordshire, Essex, Kent, all sorts of places nearby. And, you know, I sit there with my Cuban cigars as I am now, looking at my empire and thinking I've cracked. So yeah, well, thanks, mate.
Well, the Patreons voted Declan Rice as man of the match with 34%. Kurt Zouma in second place, as we both agreed, was fantastic. He got 28% of the vote, followed by Creswell in third with 14%.
Wow. And what did Johnson and Fabianski get? Because I would have said they should have been right up there as well.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm not sure what Fabianski got. I'll have to revisit that. I know Ben Johnson got 12%, so he was there or thereabouts.
For me, it was between. I don't disagree with those at all. For me, it was between Zouma, Fabianski, Creswell, Johnson, and Rice. Would find it very hard to choose. I think I voted myself because I did it when I was. Because I write that, I do that poll, and I just vote for it as soon as I've done it. I think from memory, I put Johnson, just because, again, he's a young lad, and I wanted to sort of acknowledge the fact how well he's doing, but I couldn't argue with Rice either. But I mean, technically, Rice should win Man of the Match every single week, because he's so good every single week, and then that would be a little bit boring. I still say he was robbed of Hammer of the Year last year, and you'll never change my mind on that, because he's performances was like this last year, and he should have been Hammer of the Year last year, and I know you didn't agree with me and lots of others didn't, hence why he wasn't, although I do think there's a conspiracy theory behind that, but that's for another show. He's categorically always up there. It'd be interesting, because for Hammer of the Year at the moment, if he was to choose right now, I say he's obviously up there. But I think he'd have competition now from Zouma. I think he'd have competition from Creswell. Mm. I mean, he'd have competition from Benrahma. So it'd be interesting. But once again, he would be right up there, definitely.
Yeah. I'll tell you one of the many things I loved about this game today was that they rested their first 11. Yeah. Not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 like we did against Genk. They rested every single fucking one of their starting 11, because they wanted to win today so much. And yet it's our cup final, apparently.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they fucking lost their cup final today.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. And, oh, my God, the New York Giants won 3. I know this is going to bore you, but I have to say it. We just won 3-25.
That's as rare as rocking all shit, actually. Mate,
a West Ham and a New York Giants win. My
it's
God.
The best weekend ever.
I told you, if Carlsberg did weekends. I quit my job on Friday, which I am sad about because I did love my job, but I have officially left my job as of Friday.
Are you going to talk about that then, yeah?
Well, I thought I might as well mention it because people are going to start seeing a lot more from us, hopefully. There's numerous reasons behind that. Numerous reasons. One being that I need to support my family more and I need to be at home more. And I think psychologically and physically, I haven't been around as much to support my family. There are other factors, but that's the main factor. So I'll explain a bit more later. But that happened on Friday. And I am sad about that. So that's not necessarily a bonus, but it happened. Then I met with my idol this morning. And what a legend.
Thanks, mate. Yeah.
And I also met with Julian Dix as well. it's just great. You know, you've been so wonderful to me, mate. Everything you do is so amazing. And Julian as well. Like, you know, when you meet him, like, you know, they always say you should never meet your heroes because you're always disappointed. But if anything, I would say Julian is a better bloke than I'd even imagined him to be. He's such a nice guy, and you know what is a sign I'm gonna say of a really nice guy is that, you know, we did the event with him and he went out of his way to text both you and say thank you and how much he enjoyed it and stuff, and not many ex-players do that, and he did, and you know, he's just genuinely a top bloke. So that went really well. The event was really a success. All the people that attended were you know, on point and top blokes and top lasses and stuff, and it was really, really good. Then we go and beat Spurs like that and buzzing from that, and then to see the New York Giants win 25-3, mate, that's big. I know you don't understand NFL, but that's like the equivalent of West Ham winning like 4-5-0. Oh, that's a massive win. And we can see we've only won one game this season. That's huge. And so, wow, like literally, what else is going to happen? You know, I might even get laid tonight. Who knows? It's been about 4 years.
I'm only a text message away.
it's all good. Happy days.
Mate, do you know what? And it really does feel like that, doesn't it? You're absolutely right. And do you know what? One thing that I'm really proud of that we've achieved, and I think we have achieved it, is, you know, in West Ham circles, in the West Ham world, in West Ham social media, it's a fucking jungle. And in a jungle, you get all sorts of animals involved. But with us, we've condensed what we do with Patreon, and we've essentially said, if you buy into what we do and you enjoy what we do, come and join us, come and be part of the family. And those people do it, they invest in us, and God bless them, we love them for that. But by doing that, we filtered out the shit and we've actually created a really fantastic community of people. And honestly, the patrons we've got, from every man to every woman, they're such good people, genuinely good people.
Yeah.
And that trips over to the events. I mean, you know, you look at that environment today and every single person there, there's no agenda to them. There's no fucking tosspots. They're just people that love West Ham, love a laugh, love a drink, and just go to these events and have a smile on their face. They get it. You know, they understand what it's all about, a match day, the passion, the excitement, the love for West Ham. And I just think, do you know what? If we do nothing else, if this was to end tomorrow for me and you, I look back at, you know, Patreon and our events, and I think, do you know what? We've done all right there. We've created a real community with those different platforms. And it was just a joy. And you talk about that event today. And do you know what? It's really interesting because you get this, I think, with our extra time shows. Sometimes when you ask a question that triggers a certain answer that sometimes even we don't expect. And that happens at the event as well, where a player unexpectedly opens up. And it's a real special moment. And with someone like Dixie, it's funny with Dixie, you know, because if you don't know him, he can come across as a certain way and you don't really know how to take him. But actually, he is just literally black and white. What you see is what you get. You know, he'll tell it how it is. He is who he is and he'll say it as it is. And one point in that event today when someone asked him a question about his injury. I think that ultimately ended his career. It was a real poignant moment, actually. You know what I'm going to say is when he answered, when he said about, you know, he really opened up, didn't he? He said, you know, I really struggled. And no one sees it. It makes you think, do you know what? There are human beings behind these superstar footballers that we grew up adoring, you know? And he said that he was on the verge of alcoholism with this problem. You know, he was at a real, real, real low point. And I don't know, you'd look at certain questions and interviews and conversations, and it really opens people up as to who they really are. And that for me is the beauty of these events and these extra time shows that we do, is just getting to know the person more. We all know the player, we all love the player, but to get to know them more as a person, that's where the gold dust is in these interviews, whether it's Waldy doing it or us doing it on these shows, you know. It was brilliant today. Do you know what, X? For different reasons, I think today was up there with one of the best of them, you know, the event.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. I think that's a fair comment. I agree with you. And people that were at the event were obviously lucky to witness it firsthand, but I actually recorded many of Julian's answers whilst being a little bit distracted by various things going on. You'll see that, what I mean by the film of them, but I did record quite a lot of his answers, and hopefully I'll be able to sort of show to people when I upload them to Patreon quite how good it was and how honest he was. But I, as I said to Julian when I texted him back after he texted me, and I said to him, like, thank you, mate. And I just said, listen, you're perfect for these things because, you know, you're funny, you're interesting, and you're honest, and that's what West Ham fans want. And you know, like you say, it is great to get to know these people on that basis, and something that I think is really good that Patreon has done for me as well is that, you know, everyone knows that I could be a bit sensitive, and that's probably an understatement to some of the abuse that I've got and stuff like that, but actually today someone tried it on, and it wasn't even something that I'd posted on Patreon, it was something I think you'd posted, but someone tried it on about something, and I looked at it and I thought, you pathetic little, and I'm not even going to swear because like, I can't think of a strong enough word for them, and I just ignored it, and it didn't even bother me. It just, and I really? Love the, yeah, I didn't even reply, didn't even acknowledge it, didn't even block them, and I just thought, you're that pathetic that you're not even going to warrant even acknowledging that I've seen it. And you know, obviously and I think that's what Patreon's done, because it's made me appreciate that, yeah, there are the odd idiot out there, but what we've got now is a community of people that are actually really good blokes, really and girls, sorry, I keep saying blokes, but we do have a lot of female patrons as well. It's just great. And like you said, I feel very proud of that. I'm very proud of being a West Ham fan right now and be able to sort of, hopefully, like we did with Dixie today, bring some of these legends and icons to people's homes, whether it be through the event, through the interviews, through the webinars that we're hoping to start launching soon, where you guys, you basically control it. Dave and I will be there, but you ask the questions and the guest will answer it. So you'll get your opportunities to do what we've been lucky enough to do for a few years now. So I think, yeah, it's just really good, and long may it continue. And, you know, life is short, you get one crack at it and stuff, and making these sorts of memories and doing these sorts of things is certainly meaning that it's an enjoyable one right now on that front, definitely.
Yeah. Well, you were there today. I wasn't. Yeah. I watched it on telly, but from what I could hear, their fans were fucking shit. I didn't hear a peep out of them.
No,
was that the case?
Yeah, 100%. I didn't even at one point, and I know this sounds like a weird thing to say because you obviously know that there's away fans there, but I think it was after about 25 minutes. I thought to myself, I haven't even looked at them. So like, where I sit, I pretty much sit on the halfway line in the Billy Bond stand, and I'm about sort of halfway, I guess, up in the bit from in the lower tier of the Billy Bond stand, and I kind of look, so I look diagonally across, and they're in my eye line, and usually I notice the away fans, I usually notice them quite quickly. I certainly noticed the Rapid Vienna ones the other day, you know, and I
proper fans, I noticed the
Genk fans, and you know, I remember noticing Brentford, I always have to pause,
you always do it, don't you?
I always go to say Brentwood. It's like great. So I have to like stop myself. I thought after about 25 minutes, I suddenly thought, I haven't even noticed if there's Spurs fans actually at this game. And I kind of looked over just to sort of check that they were there. And yeah, I honestly don't recall hearing anything from them. And that is just absolutely pathetic. You know, like West Ham go to our rivals, whether it be them or Chelsea or, you know, heaven forbid when we play Millwall, if we ever do in the league. You know West Ham fans, they're I mean, you know, West Ham fans are at any game away from home. And but the fact that they're at their rival, well, they were claiming we're not their rivals, but really, we all know it was their cup final. They're at their cup final and they didn't even sing. I mean, my goodness, I've said this before. If Tottenham got relegated, I genuinely believe their stadium would have like 5,000-6,000 in it. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. They're just such fickle 100%. Fans.
100%.
They really, really are.
I'll tell you, they're fucking too, Bob. Yeah. When I heard, I got a couple of Arsenal mates, right? And they were there when they were beating Tottenham 3-0. When he said they were fucking walking out in their droves after 47 minutes of 3-0 down. I'm telling you now, West Ham could be 20-0 down. You'll never get West Ham fans walking out on an away day. I mean, look at your first ever away day in inverted commas.
I know.
We lost an FA Cup semi-final 4-1. 4-0. And all you could hear was Billy Bonds' Claret and Blue Army.
For
90 minutes. That is West Ham. When you look at Tottenham, they're so fucking too, Bob. It's unbelievable. Mm. Fucking scumbags. Absolute scumbags. And they are one of those clubs that everyone universally hates, don't they?
I think so. I mean, that's why the song Tottenham Get Battered is like has a double meaning, doesn't it, really? Yeah. Because obviously it's on and off the pitch. And I think they are one of those teams that just are not liked by many. You know, you don't get many fans that say, oh, I support, I know Everton, but I've got a soft spot for Tottenham. You know,
it doesn't happen, does it?
That just doesn't happen, you know, whereas, you know, that does happen with other clubs. And I just think, like I said, Facebook, as I say, I think I said it last week, but I don't use Facebook very often. And as I say, I've got friends on there that I haven't seen for like 25 years. And would probably, if I actually saw them in person, would probably try and keep my head down and keep walking and not say anything to them, which is the stupid thing about Facebook for a lot of it. But I forget what teams half the people I'm friends with on their support because I never talk to them. I don't have any dialogue with them. But whenever Tottenham do something like they beat West Ham or they got to Champions League final, didn't they, a couple of years ago? That you suddenly you're like, my God, I didn't even know you supported Spurs. Wow, you support Spurs, oh, you do as well. And then for the rest of it, they go vanishing. Like, I guarantee if I go onto Facebook now, there won't be one Tottenham fan referencing the fact they'd been there or they were disappointed or something. But you know full well, had they won, it'd be all over Facebook, all over it.
Yeah.
And that's what I can't stand about them.
Yeah, I totally. Like, for me, they've got all the arrogance of the Arsenal fans without the success.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly. And that's why, whilst I wouldn't say, you know, I'm obviously not an Arsenal fan, but I would say that I don't mind Arsenal purely because they have always kept Spurs in their place as their biggest rival and always been better than them.
Yeah, totally, mate, totally. I mean, as much as I hate Tottenham, and you know me, I fucking hate Tottenham.
Not sure about that.
There might have been one or two clues along the way over the few
I mean,
years.
That video you did after the game today, I mean, why were you so calm and diplomatic? I always think to myself, go on, Dave, just push it a bit further. Let people know what you really think.
Do you know what was funny? At the event today, one of the patrons came up to me. He said, do you know the one thing that has to come back? I said, go on. He said, your post-match reactions. He said, you've got to do one today. And I said, well, do you know what? If we win, I will. If we don't win, there's no fucking chance. Because I'll be raised. I won't be in a good headspace to do one. So he said, all right, fair enough. And I stuck to my word. I said, yeah, okay, mate, I've got to do it. And that was just pure passion, mate. I think every West Ham fan can resonate with that. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, definitely. Did you see the poll that I put? I listened to your video by then, but did you see the poll that I put on straight after that?
No.
Just the question was, what happens to Tottenham everywhere they go? And then I just put two options of they get battered. And it's I think everyone was just feeling that, and you know it is just a real amazing, man. A real good feeling, and it's very hard to not feel absolutely delighted after that, and yeah, great times.
But that said, you did see something after the game that was a bit piss poor, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And I wasn't going to mention it, but seeing as you've said it, you know, I'll mention it. Like I was walking, so I found a way to get out of the ground quite quickly, because obviously when we do the events, basically I drive down to my parents because they live quite near to O'Neill's in Leytonstone, and then you pick me up from my parents, drive me to the event, and then I either get the train or get an Uber to the ground, and then on the way back I get an Uber to my parents to get my car. Anyway, so I go near Pudding Lane Station, and to get there you have to walk along the sort of viaduct, whatever it's called, the bridge, and you sort of cross the opposition fans. And I was with my dad. And one thing I said to my dad at the time was, when you go to Tottenham away, you have to walk through massive like police lines before you can break out into the open world, so to speak, when you're an away fan. But at this game here, the Tottenham fans were just steaming one direction, West Ham fans just steaming the other direction. And I said to my dad, this is a bit, you know, something could happen here. Anyway, I'm walking behind some lads, and there was a little kid with them who I would say was probably six or seven, possibly, walking, holding one of these blokes' hands. And then another bloke that was in the same group just suddenly went, I'm going to batter a Spurs fan, like that. And he just said it, and I was kind of thought, like, you know, I heard it, and I didn't really think much of it and stuff. And then him and one other fella just ran over to these two blokes that were happened to be walking. They weren't doing anything. They weren't in Spurs kits. They weren't singing these Spurs songs or anything. They were just walking. And then he just walked up to the side of him, so the guy didn't even see him, and just clumped him around the head and knocked him to the ground. And the guy just fell down and smacked his head against the road, and kind of like was out cold, only not for long, but for about maybe 4 or 5 seconds. And then they tried, and his mate was like, whoa, what's going on here. And then they tried to get him, but he sort of kind of managed to get away a bit. And then another fan just kind of said, like, what are you doing, what have they done to you? And it just left a bit of taste in my mouth, because I thought, you know, I'm not into violence at all, really, but I understand that Tottenham West Ham have that rivalry. If there was Tottenham fans giving it to the West Ham fans and goading, then I wouldn't really thought anything of it. But to see that and to do it in front of a child as well, just didn't sit very well with me, really. Which was a shame.
I mean, the only reason I wanted to bring it up, X, is because I think it's important. Because if anyone's listening to this and they think about following suit, I just think it's fucking bang out of order, you know. And
it actually really upset me. I almost, and you know, I wouldn't, because they probably would have turned on me. And I started to walk over that way. I almost went over and said, "Mate, what the hell are you doing?" You know, like, and almost got involved and tried to break it up. But I was with my dad, who's like, he went into his 70s and was struggling to walk and stuff, and I just couldn't really face having myself knocked out as well. So.
No, I understand, but you know, at the end of the day, it's just fucking piss poor. I mean, you know, I mean, the fact that the kid was there and would have witnessed it as well, there are just fucking rules to this sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? I mean, look, you know, I'm not condoning violence, but if you do want it at football, then at least find people that are like-minded.
I agree.
You know, and they're up for it as well. Because those are the people that should be having it together. You know what I mean? Not people that are just trying to get home to their families and, you know, they've got a little kid with them as well. I mean, what the fuck possesses someone to do that to someone in front of a kid that would witness everything? Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's just... It's just fucking, it's just muggy, isn't it? You know, it's fucking stupid. And we're better than that.
And that's what I thought. And to be fair, I mean, I was looking at the fella that threw the punch. In fairness, he knocked him down and he knocked him out. So you could argue it was a good punch. The guy didn't even know he was there. He ran at him from the side. I mean, what sort of achievement is that? If you're taking a freeze punch at someone on the side or back of their head without them even knowing you're there, even just the shock value of just be walking along talking to your mate and then boom, it's probably going to knock you over anyway because you're not expecting it and stuff. So to then take a sort of victory from that and they walked off and the guy wasn't doing anything. And at that time, there was no evidence he was even a Tottenham fan. You know, he wasn't shouting anything. He wasn't doing anything. He was just walking along. And I thought to myself, you know, that could have actually been a West Ham. I think he probably was a Tottenham fan because then when some other people got involved, they're like, why are you doing this? Just because we support different teams and stuff. And so I think they probably were Spurs fans. But nonetheless, there was no evidence of it. You know, and that could have just been some bloke, like I said, that's going home to his kids that evening, wanted to watch his football team, kept his head down, walking home to the station, and then you've ran out of nowhere and smacked him around the back of the head. And the guy that did it, I mean, I don't want to sort of set myself up for a fight with him there, but I think if he'd picked on someone that was actually up for it and was actually ready to come at him, I'm not looking at him, sure, he wouldn't have been knocked out himself. So it's even more muggy to take a cheap shot like that and then run off from it. But, you know, and it was sad to see, really, sad to see, because yes, like we clearly, you and I don't like Spurs and stuff, but as you rightly said, if you're gonna do that sort of thing, and I think even like, you know, the ICF had that code, didn't they? You know, they wouldn't go and on the train and then start on random people that weren't looking for it. Then that was actually frowned upon, doing that. They'd start on likewise people, which is why the hooligan firms arrange to meet each other so that they know they're targeting the inverted commas right people. So yeah, it was sad, and as I said, I told you afterwards, because it just kind of put a bit of a disappointing end to me at the end. And don't get me wrong, I understand our rivalry more than the next man. I can't stand it. I've been at Tottenham, you know, I'll put it the other way, it was the a League Cup when Bobby Zamora actually scored for Spurs against us. So we must be talking, and I think Robbie Stockdale randomly made his debut for us, in that cup game. And I remember walking to that game, and I was walking along with West Ham fans, and there was no singing or anything. We were just walking to the game, and then a load of Tottenham fans just steamed into us and were just like beating the crap out of random people, basically. So it works two ways, but like you said, it's just disappointing to see, really.
Yeah, totally. I mean, again, I wasn't at the game today, but you said that some of their fans were trying to break into the home section.
I saw that.
I mean, if you're
going to
slap some cunt, fucking slap them cunts. Give them a good kick in. That's no fucking problem. But
yeah, I saw that on Twitter. I mean, I didn't see it firsthand, but there's some videos on Twitter where there's a metal segregation between the two fans, and you can see them trying to break through. And that's what I mean. Yeah, if they're clearly doing that, then by all means, give it back. But not to random people just walking to the station or whatever that don't even know you're there.
Absolutely. Well, we spoke about the pre-match event today, and it was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Really, for me, he's right up there with one of the best, and I know X agrees. Yeah. And the next one is on Sunday, the 7th of November, where the special guest for the live Q&A will be Tony Gow. Now, with Tony, I'm sure you'll agree, X. I mean, he's so funny. I mean, he can host it, he can guest it, he can take the piss, he can, you know, Tony's brilliant. I mean, honestly, you don't want to miss this. You're guaranteed a laugh. So we'll put the guest list out on Patreon shortly for that. And if you want to come, then obviously put your names down like you did with the Julian event. You won't want to miss it. So that's Sunday, the 7th of November. And trust me, you want to be there for that. It's going to be a good crack, that. And that's before the Liverpool game. Right, okay, let's see what X has to say this week. X is the man in the know. Keeps you informed, on rain or snow. His opinion is in demand. There ain't another anti-player that can stand. To listen to the rest of this podcast, you need to be a patron of the West Ham Way. Becoming a patron couldn't be easier. Just visit patreon.com/the West Ham Way and confirm your subscription to get full access to the West Ham Way podcast, our second weekly show called the West Ham Way podcast Extra Time, classic clips of audio and video interviews, exclusive news from X, match day team news before anyone else, an exclusive forum, live Q&As with myself and X, monthly prize draws, discounts on events and merchandise, and behind the scenes content, all of which for just £5 a month.
It's Macy's Labor Day sale, so gear up as summer cools down with 30% off timeless looks from Levi's and specials like 30 to 50% off statement making shoes for her and 60% off luggage from Samsonite and more. Or use your coupon or Macy's card and get an extra 20% off more great deals. Plus, Star Rewards members can earn rewards even faster during Macy's Star Money Bonus Days going on now. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Becky, do you like this beat?
I'm into faster stuff lately, like Xfinity that gives me beyond gig speeds.
What about this, then?
Powerful, just like Xfinity.
Restrictions apply. Actual speeds vary, not guaranteed. Requires compatible Xfinity gateway. Limited quantities available.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.